Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local scene in Georgia and around the Southeast region, as well as interviews with the newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Hello and welcome to the June 18th, 2012 edition of Georgia Wrestling Now. My name is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, and tonight we're being joined by the human hand grenade Danny Only, returning, Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins, and our special guest co-host for the night is John Williams from the Washington Bullets, the Georgia Wrestling History Tag Team of the Year this last year. So we've got a full lineup of hosts alone, but then we also have some interesting guests tonight. A little bit of change up from what we announced last week, but still should be interesting. We've got Steven Platinum from Platinum Championship Wrestling calling to talk about a bunch of stuff that they have coming up, and we've got a guy who's still known as the Curry Kid in NWA Action, but in Empire and PCW he is simply known as Montez, since he was unmasked a few weeks or a couple months ago. But we'll get to all that in a little bit. But how are all you guys doing tonight?
We're doing great.
I know Danny had a long weekend, and Matt was sort of there for some of it. You guys want to talk about that?
I snuck away from my wife's PCW to see my mistress in Chicago. So I was so nervous. I didn't tell anybody I was going, and I just showed up, but I was thankful that I made the trip. It was eye-opening, you know. It was kind of like seeing something that's on the ground right now that really has the potential to blast off at any point. And I think what Resistance is doing is what's right about wrestling right now. It's a very new-style show, which is I'm still not quite used to. I'm really used to the older style here in Georgia. But they do a lot of the new stuff that I love, without doing some of the things that new wrestling kind of gets a bad rap for, like having 1,050,000 finishing moves that everybody kicks out of. They don't do that as much. And it was just a damn good time, more than anything. I mean, when you see a man's mentally handicapped brother turn heel on him, you're left with a lasting impression.
So, yeah, you're talking about Resistance Pro in Chicago, and that was Friday night, right?
Yes, that was Friday night.
And Danny was there, his second time there, but first as the Hate Junkies with Strychnine. So how did that go for you, Danny?
It was all right, man. We did pretty good. We had had a little bit of an issue getting up there. the vehicle we were in was giving us some problems, so the time it normally should have took to get there, we had it about 4.5-5 hours to that. So that wasn't the best situation it could have been. But we got there on time. Something that did happen there that just speaks, you know, volumes for that place is the way we were treated. You know, yeah, it's never cool to be late somewhere. And, you know, it is the above all thing is that Resistance Pro is a business. So they have a business to operate. But that being said, Nova was extremely cool with us. We got there. We actually jumped out of our car about 3 blocks down the road because the city was just cramped. And so we jumped out the car and ran to the building. And when we got there, Nova was just like, "All right, guys, look, you're here. Calm down, chill out, made it, all good." So, you know, it's one of those things where he understands because he's a wrestler. So he knows how it went. So it was good, man. Resistance is one of my favorite places to be. It's probably my my most, I don't want to say most favorite because that's shitty grammar, but it's my favorite place to be. It's the most fun I've had in wrestling since I started. It's just a really cool environment. But
who did you guys wrestle?
We wrestled the Submission Squad. It was a tag team that's pretty well known around the Northeast and the Midwest, all the way from Texas up to the Midwest area. And, you know, we came up a little short. They made Strick tap out, and the guy had me outside, and I couldn't get back inside. So came up a little short, but I say we made a pretty good impression. We definitely let the people there remember who we were. But that's not the most interesting thing that happened to me this weekend.
Well, do tell, Danny Only.
Well, as my usual trips go, when I go into that part of the world, which I refer to as any place that isn't the Southwest or the Southeast wrestling scene, it was a very long drive, very long trip, a lot of hours spent in a cramped car, but the wrestling was off. We did Resistance. After Resistance, I stayed up till about 6:30 in the morning drinking and talking about what's right and what's wrong with wrestling. Slept for about an hour and a half and then went to Cleveland and wrestled for Beyond Wrestling, where myself, Strychnine, the Pit Boss, and David Justice, Ryan Justice, one of the Justices, I don't know. We just call him Justice, doesn't matter. Anyway, it was the four of us against the team of Eric Corvus, Johnny Mingway, and the Team Beyond members, Chase Burnett and Zane Silver. And for those who may or may not know, Eric Corvus is the wrestler formerly known as Corvus Fear, who had a pretty decent run on the Northeast wrestling scene for the past few years. He's been in the rings with the likes of Sandy Callahan, Dan Moff, Low Key. He's been in there with a lot of people. So we wrestled them. We won. I'm sorry, I got my dates mixed up. We won. Justice hit a DVD on Corvus into the bottom turnbuckle, which was absolutely disgusting.
Oh.
And I thought that was... What?
I just said, oh.
Yeah, it was gross. It was really gross. I thought that was going to be the end of
live
it,
or a taped one?
What?
Was it a live or a taped Beyond show?
It was a live one. It was a co-promotion between Beyond Wrestling and St. Louis Anarchy, where the two most prolific matches on there were Johnny Gargano against ACH and Drew Gulak against Mark Angel, and both of those matches lived up to their hype. The main event was Johnny Cockstrong against RDF, which is a Beyond story that's been being told for a while. But I think the main thing that's getting talked about right now is the fact that I tried to stab Eric Corvus in the neck with a corkscrew.
Was this during the match or after the match?
No, this was at the end of the night. You know what? You guys got to forget me, man. I'm not in my usual mindset right now. I'm not in the best of moods, and there's none of this fucking jokey, happy-go-lucky shit going on. At the end of the night, I beat the shit out of Eric Corvus, and I tried to stab him in the neck with a corkscrew because that was the closest sharp object that I could get my hands on, and I almost did it. And the only reason that I didn't is because Drew Gulak, who some people might know from Combat Zone Wrestling, who was also a wrestler for Beyond, he pulled me off and kept me from doing it. And we traded a few punches. And then Johnny Mangway, who I guess is a friend of Corvus's, we traded a few punches. And then it dawned on me what was going on and the fact that it was a very good chance that I could end up going to jail in Cleveland. We bounced. I'm not going to get into why. Honestly, when I want to tell people why I did it, I'll fucking tell them why I did it. But, I almost stabbed Corvus Fear in the neck, and I got to tell you, it felt really good to almost do it. The only thing that I'm really mad at is the fact that I didn't finish it.
Well, it sounds like Danny Only we haven't seen in a while, but certainly one that we're all pretty familiar with. But if that's all you want to say about it for now, that's where we'll leave it for now, and we can talk to John Williams a little bit, who accompanied you last time you went to Beyond Wrestling, and he was also part of Empire Wrestling on Friday at Academy and PCW in Porterdale on Saturday. What do you want to tell us, John?
Well, first thing I say is I totally understand why Danny feels the way he feels right now, because I know how long and hard the trip was when we went up there, and like the Monday we got back, I felt like a zombie. So I could totally understand him being just like totally out of it. The Empire show was like an interesting show where they kind of did like a lot of different storylines and stuff like that. I think the main match that sort of solidified everything was the 6-on-6 match that we did in the main event, and it was a lot of people. Does anybody have it written down exactly who it was? Because I'm going to try to remember myself, but there's a lot of people.
There was Narcissism. Actually, well, we've got Stephen Platinum now joining us, so maybe he can help us recall.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
All right. How are you?
I'm good.
We were just getting to Friday and Saturday's events, and maybe you can help us recall who all was in that six-man tag in the main event on Friday.
Oof.
Or was it eight? Eight man.
It was 6-on-6.
Yeah,
oh,
so,
right.
Both sides kind of anchored by their respective champions. So there was Shane Marks, Narcissism, I believe Brian Blaze, Jacob Ashworth. I think Pump Yo Breaks was on that team. I can't recall who the sixth person was.
Devlin Valak.
Devlin Valak, yeah, getting a shot at the main event. And then on the other side, it was PCW champion Mason, along with The Witness. John Williams was part of that. Morgan Davis III. And then, I can't remember who
Supernatural?
The other two were. Supernatural. Wow. Pretty crazy group. It was pretty wacky that I remember.
Did you do at least a lottery for this? This is how these teams came about.
No, how the teams came about was basically the rest of the card was qualifying matches to be in the Platinum Classic. That's on June 29th. So basically the teams were comprised of either guys that had no incentive to be in the Platinum Classic, either because they had won it before, like Brian Blaze and Jagged Edge was another guy who was in it, or an end ship day. These are all guys that have won it before, or they were champions already, so their incentive to enter the Platinum Classic is minimal. So that's how that match came about. And there's a lot of bad blood between various guys. Devlin Valak and Supernatural are not fond of each other. Clearly, Empire guys and PCW guys aren't.
Well, I mean, even if you think about it, the Empire, We Are Three, I don't know if anybody really noticed, but like in the match there was a little thing with Jacob Ashworth and Brian Blaze, because I was actually caught in the middle of it, because basically Jacob Ashworth hit his finisher on me, and then Brian Blaze and basically fought over who was gonna pin me, and then
they got into it, and the Empire earlier, Jeter and Siler Cross had a qualifying match for the Platinum Classic. I mean, it's 700 pounds of man, and they went at it, and so like We Are Three clearly like has no allegiance to anybody, Empire, PCW, or anything else.
Yeah.
Right. Well, Steve, of course, you guys you've had a lot going on with the Porterdale shows every couple weeks and the weekly shows at Academy, and of course you were part of the Monstrosity Championship Wrestling show at the Monster Bash a couple weeks ago. And then you've got some other big shows coming up at the Goat Farm on Saturday and then the 4th of July in Porterdale. And you recently made another big announcement about Porterdale, but I'll let you talk a little bit about all that. What's going
on
next Saturday, first of all?
So next Saturday, we're at the Goat Farm. I think it's just a collection of different artists doing different things, and we're just a part of that whole thing. And if you've never been to the Goat Farm, It's in the perimeter. I don't know the best. Jonathan can probably describe where it is better than I can. But that venue is incredibly unique. Do you know the backstory behind that place, Jonathan? I'm not really that familiar.
I don't know the full story. I just know that it used to be something, and it's fallen into disrepair, and then just in the past few years, someone has taken it over and kind of turned it into art. Commune is not the right word, but that's kind of the feel that it has.
Yeah.
They've started having a lot of big concerts and stuff there, and they've got an art gallery. They've got a Warhorse coffee shop, which is just a coincidence, I believe, because it'll be your debut at the Goat Farm. But and the thing they're doing on Saturday, it's called the Big Bang Ball, and it's just a bunch of local bands like Blair Crimmins and the Hookers and is one of the big ones. And there's going to be like aerialists like Sadie Hawkins, who's performed at PCW stuff before, and different circus sideshow type things and stuff. So you guys should fit right in, I would think.
I think so. but that's yes, indeed. That's going to be a special show to book. I can tell already.
It would be very akin to the Monsters Bash that we just did, where it was like people who I know who have never seen wrestling, but I think our show is so much fun that people kind of just get into it no matter what.
Yes, I mean
it is similar to that, but it's very different types of bands and stuff, I guess. So it'll be.
Yeah.
There won't be a lot of crossover probably between that and the Monster Bash, so it'll be an entirely new set of eyes that have never seen wrestling.
Probably more akin to some of the crowds we would see when we were at iDrum.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm looking forward to that, and that is Saturday. And on July 4th, which is a Wednesday, PCW returns to Porterdale, and we're actually going to do we're going to have two rings, and four matches are going to take place in the double rings, and then the cage will go up, and we're doing something that I'm calling Revolutionary War Games. So it's like it's similar to the traditional war games where you have two teams and one person enters from each team until everybody's in there, and then you wrestle until somebody gives up, and then, you know, the team is the winner. But this year it's going to be two teams of six, and people are going to enter the caged area in random order. So in theory, you could have four people from one team against one person from the other for a time, and people can give up at any point and end the match. So it's much more precarious. In theory, somebody could give up right away if they find themselves double teamed, triple teamed, and whatnot. So it's a pretty dangerous situation, but you know, at the end of the last Porterdale show, it was sort of necessary based on what happened in the Supernatural Shane Marks ladder match, which I've been told is up online. And if you weren't out there in Porterdale, that ladder match was pretty great. It was pretty insane, as you would expect from Supernatural against Shane Marks.
And is it correct in that was the first ladder match in Porterdale ever?
I believe so. Yes.
Okay.
First ladder match, so they had a lot to live up to. And, you know, whenever Supernatural and Shane Marks kind of mix it up, there's an expectation there as well. And I think those guys definitely lived up to it. I don't know how long that ladder match was. It was probably right around the 30-minute mark. But many crazy things were done, and it was a great match, kind of ruined by the Priority Males and Jagged Edge, who jumped Supernatural when it looked like he was going to win. And then a bevy of Shane Marks' allies came out and had a confrontation. And then so that's the match that we're going to have for the Revolutionary War Games on July 4th. And that's going to start at 7 p.m. The theory is once the Revolutionary War Games is over, the fireworks will begin, because we're just a part of their July 4th celebration in Porterdale. So the show's outside along with all the booze and...
Who's in this Revolutionary War Games? Because I couldn't help but to hear you say that Jagged Edge is one.
Yeah, Jagged Edge is one, and actually, I don't think the Bullets can be a part of it, so there's a couple of spots open.
Yeah.
Danny. And Jagged Edge is definitely on one side of that, along with the Priority Males and Shane Marks, who I also know you don't really care for any of those guys. So, I don't know, Danny. If you want it in, I would love to have you on the other side of that. So.
I'm going to make you immediately regret that decision. I want the Jagged Edge. I want the cage with the Jagged Edge. Because I don't know if you were listening when you called in. How long were you on the phone waiting when you called in there, Steve?
I didn't hear the Jagged Edge. I did not.
He didn't hear the beginning of the show.
You happen to hear what happened to me this weekend?
It was I don't think Steve heard that.
It's a different sharp object Danny's referring to.
Yeah, so just to catch Steve up, Danny was at Beyond Wrestling, and he attempted to stab, what was his name, Danny?
Eric Corvus.
Eric Corvus in the neck with a corkscrew. So I think he's implying that he might want to do something similar to the Jagged Edge, but I don't want to speak on behalf of Danny only. But Jagged Edge made his return to Quarterdale.
Go ahead and call in and tell me all that shit you're going to tell me about how I don't want to do it, blah, 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 blah. Ask anybody who was there. I wanted to do it. I wanted to stab Corvus in the throat. The only reason I didn't is because of Drew Gulak. I'm wondering who's going to stop me from stomping your face in. So, yeah, Steve, July 4th, hell, last time I checked, I ain't got shit going on.
Well, I will see you there. Oh, my God.
First
corkscrew in Porterdale wrestling history, I'm sure.
The first murder in Porterdale wrestling.
Wow.
Well, Steve, I don't know if you listen to the show each week, but Jagged Edge and Danny Only have been using this show as a forum to air their grievances towards each other. And now, of course, that's carried over to Anarchy, and seems that they can't get away from each other. So I think that might be a good place for it.
That's the main reason. You know, everything was just fighting. You know, and I'm cool with fighting. I can fight anywhere. You know, we ran into each other at PCW Empire, and we go at it, and that's good. But he came to Anarchy, dude. He came into my house. I don't know who that is, but turn your damn phone off.
Hold on, I'm walking here.
Jagged came to my house and started throwing his weight around. So that's why I'm so bitter. Who knows, maybe that was one of the thoughts that was going through my head when I was trying to jab that damn corkscrew into Corvus's neck. Maybe that was one of them. Maybe, I don't know, maybe I was looking at Jagged's face. But you came into my house, man. Anarchy is my house. And you came into my house and started throwing your weight around. So, okay, that's good. I said it a couple weeks ago. I won't bust your head to the white meat. I'm tired.
Well, he did throw his weight around and took out pretty much everybody that wasn't on his side.
He took everybody out, man.
Yeah. And then he made his return to Porterdale on Saturday. It was the first time, I believe, that he's been there since the very first Porterdale PCW show on St. Patrick's Day. Is that right, Steve?
That's right, yes.
And he dominated Ken O'Sullivan, as he normally does. And that was the very first match. But, yeah, you've got some other big announcement about Porterdale at Academy Theater recently. I don't know if you want to mention that here.
Sure.
Or
you know, Sacred Ground... Sacred Ground is going to be on September 29th, and locking down a venue was becoming a bit of a challenge, but Porterdale stepped up and said they really, really wanted Sacred Ground. So September 29th in Porterdale, Georgia, we're going to have Sacred Ground. They're going to put in, because we've been packing that place as it is, so they're going to find a way to get more chairs in there, and hopefully we're going to be able to pack 2 to 250 in that building, and we're going to do Sacred Ground Chapter 3 on September 29th. It's going to have, normally we do a 6 p.m. start time for the Porterdale shows, but Sacred Ground is going to be 8 o'clock, and that's where it's going to be. So Sacred Ground Chapter 3 is going to be in Porterdale on September 29th. So that's going to be crazy. It's going to be, you know, matches. A couple matches are already set. We'll do the Platinum Royal that we always do, and it'll be the PCW champion against the Empire champion for control of the whole kit and caboodle. As you know, at Porterdale, their Platinum Championship Wrestling, when we're in Atlanta or Avondale Estates, they're Empire. So I just kind of want to get rid of all that confusion. So it's going to be kind of winner take all at Sacred Ground Chapter 3. That's the main event. So, yeah.
All right.
You cleverly built in a home court advantage for PCW.
Sure.
Pretty smart. Good thinking.
Yes.
Good thinking.
Yep. So that's, gosh, I think that's all the major announcements, except on July 20th, Davey Richards returns, and he's going to take on Fred Yehi.
Holy stuff.
triple main event. Fred Yehi against Davey Richards. And then both the Empire and PCW titles will be defended in fatal four ways where the champions will not know who the three contenders are until they come to the ring. And Shane Marks, if he's still the Empire champion by July 20th, has a number of people to answer to who either haven't received title shots or been sort of screwed out of having a clean match. And likely those will be the three people that are contending for the Empire title. And then Mason, if he's still the PCW champ, will have three guys sort of show up from his past as well. So that's going to be very interesting on July 20th at the Academy Theater.
All right. Well, do you know what time the PCW or rest? I don't know if it's PCW or Empire that's going to be at the Big Bang Ball.
PCW at Big Bang Ball. I honestly don't know the time. I think we're just sort of part of things. But I'll get that information, and I'll look online. I just know the ring is going to be there and that we're going to be there, but I don't know a specific time that we're going on now.
Okay. I think the event itself starts at 6 or 7, and it's seems like it would be starting earlier than that though, with all the stuff they have going on. So, anyway, I think the website is bigbangball.com, so you can check that. And then the 4th of July show is a free show, right?
Correct. Yeah, that's a free show in Porterdale.
All right. Well, I guess that's all we have, unless you have something else you want to talk about. We're going to have Montez on later.
Oh, boy.
You are all
terrified.
Too familiar with.
I think I'll leave before I have to be on the phone with Montez. I think that's probably smarter.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Does anybody have questions for Steve before he leaves?
I don't think there's anything else he can tell us.
Yeah, I think we're loaded with information.
Oh, I wanted to talk about NWA Action, actually. No, I didn't.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Come on. Yes. King David is the champion. Your thoughts?
Well, they do have a show on Saturday, and Curry Kid is part of that. Other than that, what would you like to say about it, Steve?
God bless them, and best of luck in their future endeavors.
Oh.
All right, guys, take care.
That's a
right,
loaded
thanks
statement,
a lot.
Sir.
Oh, all right, guys, well, we need to take a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, we should have Montez, a.k.a. the Curry Kid, on the line.
Georgia wrestling fans, you're going to want to make your plans to be at Johnny G's the first, third, and fifth Sunday of every month, 2 p.m. bell time, for Rampage Pro Wrestling television taping. And fans, if you're in Middle Georgia, make sure that you watch Rampage Pro Wrestling on Fox 24, Saturday 9 a.m. on the My 41.2, Saturday at 10 p.m. Cox Communications Cable, Thursday 8, Saturday at noon, and of course, Rampage Rewind, the one-half-hour show on Cox Communications throughout the schedule. Fans, be there.
Do you remember Tommy Rich? What about Ray Gunkel or Gordon Solie? Can't get those nasty Anderson brothers out of your head? Well, you can catch them again at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Who was on the first card you attended? Who was it under that mask? Remember the first Omni Spectacular or the big main events at the Bell Auditorium? That happened in Columbus on my birthday. Find out at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Whether you want to get back some of your past or maybe you just want to find pro wrestling in your area, check out GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
If you're hurt, get the money you deserve. If you're in pain, get the money you deserve. At Terry and Peterman, we're personal injury attorneys who take a professional, thorough approach to your accident and injury claims. Don't call some long-distance law firm or satellite office. Don't trust your claim to just anyone. For a free consultation, call the law office of Terry and Peterman today, 229-247-0386, or go online at www.terryandpeterman.com. The law offices of Terry and Peterman, making things right.
This is Miss Rachel from The Empire, formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling. Every Friday night, The Empire presents the best in professional wrestling at the Academy Theater in Avondale State. We're also at the Masquerade every month or so. Check us out on Facebook. Just look for Platinum Championship Wrestling. And you'll get the latest details on all the hottest action from The Empire,
formerly known as Platinum Championship Wrestling.
We get it. That's every Friday night at the Academy Theater and at the Masquerade as well every month. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Georgia Wrestling Now. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, being joined by the human hand grenade Danny Only, Team All You Can Eat's Matt Hankins, John Williams of the Washington Bullets, and our next scheduled guest is known by most as the Curry Kid, but over the past couple of months, since he was unmasked by Supernatural at the Masquerade, he has been known as Montez in Empire Wrestling. And he's been a much more outspokenly bitter person than even we were used to from the Curry Kid. But either way, I'd like to welcome Montez, the Curry Kid, to the show.
Yep. What's up?
How are you tonight?
Oh, man, I'm just cooling. How you doing?
Doing okay. Like I mentioned, and I'm sure, well, all of us here have witnessed this at the Academy Theater. Ever since you lost your mask, you've been doing these TMZ segments where you berate various members of the audience, and most recently you've been calling out Navy Blue. So I'm just curious.
He also, I don't know if you remember, he also attacked me when I was actually trying to save my brother from Eric Walker.
Boo-hoo. Nobody cares about John Williams.
Hey. Everybody listen up real quick. Look, two's company, three's a crowd, four's a fucking bus. All right, John, Montez, everybody else, you guys go ahead and handle this. Four people's too many. I'm gonna go ahead and back out. So you guys enjoy the rest of the show. I'm not in the mood to talk. So you guys enjoy.
All right, Danny, we'll get some rest and hopefully we'll hear from you next week.
Yeah, real quick, I'm gonna be professional. It's like if you're in high school and you get in a fight with somebody, when they walk into the McDonald's that you work at, you're not gonna fight them. You're gonna be professional. That's what I'm going to be right now.
Whatever, man. I guess, I can't hit you from here. You can't hit me from here, so I guess you got no choice, right? You'll know where I'll be at Friday.
We'll see.
It's fine to talk bad to him, John. It's fine. It's perfectly okay to talk bad about him.
Don't worry, John. I'll be cool. I got a TMZ segment for you and your brother a little later on. You just wait.
That's good. It's good you have a talking segment for me and not an actual beating me in the ring segment, because you can't do that. But anyway, Jonathan Williams, keep going.
Oh, well, I was just going to ask, what is your beef with Navy Blue, and why did you have that knife that last time?
Well, a lot of people don't know. When I first started in pro wrestling, I didn't start at the Academy Theater. I started at that hole in the wall you call Frank's, you know, the WWA 4 crap. That's where I started. Me and Navy Blue actually broke into pro wrestling together at the same exact time. And I knew back then he was terrible. He was a terrible person. He was a terrible worker. I just hated him. And for him to get a shot before I did just because of his size and he couldn't actually work, he could never put out the work that I put out in the ring. And they gave him two, not one, but two tries. TNA wanted him. WWE wanted him. And, it was time for an end. It was time to just let everybody know who Navy Blue really was, a nobody. Untalented, 6 foot whatever, just piece of crap. And I had to let the people know. And I'll continue to let everyone know about each and every person in the audience and each and every person in the back of the Empire locker room. Because, yeah, I might have been in a mask for God knows how long, but each and every person in that locker room has something even bigger to hide than my identity.
Okay, Montez, I got to ask you this. And this is actually, I'm actually going to give you a little bit of a compliment, is I feel like maybe as the Curry Kid, you felt like you're undermined by a lot of people of being a jokey sort of wrestler, especially at Empire. And you kind of had your Stone Cold moment where you're trying to break through the mold. Do you think it's more or less that you don't like Navy Blue or that you kind of have a bit of a chip on your shoulder?
It's not that I don't like Navy Blue. I don't like anybody. Chip on my shoulder, I mean, I've done a lot in my first year of pro wrestling that most people have done in 10 years. You know, and, yeah, when I first started, yeah, the Curry Kid, you know, that was me. You know, that was the guy that was wanting to make everybody happy. But in the end, what really happened when you make everybody happy? You're the one torn up and destroyed on the inside. And so, you know what? After life got a hold to me, I took off from wrestling for about 6-7 months, you know, trying to find myself. And I came back and I realized, you know what? Sick of trying to make everybody happy. I hate everybody, and this time everybody knows how exactly I feel about
it. So do you regret donning the mask and dancing and prancing like you used to do, or you just think you've grown up past that?
It's more or less I've grown up past it. I don't regret anything in life as far as I'm concerned. Because, I've done more as the Curry Kid in 1 year in wrestling than, like I said, most people can get done in 10. But at the same time, it's time that people stop taking me as a person a joke, because a lot of people got me and the gimmick confused. You can do whatever you want to the Curry Kid in the ring, but the guy underneath the mask is not a person to be messed with. And I think a lot of wrestlers didn't understand that. And so with that being said, it was probably for the better that I did get my mask taken by Supernatural.
Montez, I want to ask you, when you first came to PCW, you were actually we eventually learned you were on the side of Mid-Georgia Championship Wrestling, when they were sort of doing their invasion. Then you eventually became part of the Empire, and now you're still wrestling for NWA Action, which is what MGCW used to be or has become, and now you have a match there this Saturday. So what is how does that all fit into what's going on with your TMZ segments and everything? You're still wearing your mask down there, I understand, right?
Well, so people thought. I would take two bookings, let's say on a Saturday, one in Alabama and maybe one in Atlanta. But I would take them both. But people will always wonder, how do you get Curry Kid in two different states? It's because I actually share the gimmick with a very, very close friend of mine who actually took half the boogers. And when I took my time off last year, my 6 months, I gave him all the gear and let him actually work under the Curry Kid mask. So there's actually more than one of us. A lot of people didn't know that until now, you know. But, yeah, I was actually on the side of MGCW because I started at MGCW. They had my third match, actually. And so I felt like if I betrayed them, it would be betraying myself. And then after we had the 5-on-5 at the Masquerade, I realized as I looked at the tape over and over, I actually wrestled against the five PCW guys. It wasn't them in the ring taking the beating. It was me. And I realized that I needed to be out for myself. And that's why I actually joined the Empire. I mean, Shane Marks, I've wrestled him before. And he got the better of me. He beat me. He kept his title. And I knew at that time he was the better man. And so with him being an Empire, I knew it would be a wise decision to join the Empire full on.
Do you think that maybe the Empire is more of a cult? Because with you, with Shane Marks, you both are two guys who are very gifted in the ring. I'm not going to lie. I'll give you guys that. But you're two people who feel like maybe you were treated wrong or maybe that you were screwed over by your respective home promotions. So now you go to the Empire like, well, these guys are treating me great, so I'm gonna go with them, even though you might not even notice that some of these people are doing the same things, but maybe they're better at talking to you than the other ones were.
So a lot of people think, I mean, yeah, I got my heat with, you know, certain companies, and that's the reason I left. But the real reason I left was because for wrestling, I wasn't being trained properly. I wanted to be better at what I did. And I spoke around to a couple guys, and they all told me, hey, you need to talk to this company. You need to talk to what was known as PCW. And so I showed up one night at training, and I saw, you know what? This is the place to train. And I can tell you, till this day, my first night of training at PCW, I learned more than I learned at WWE 4 from the month that I actually been there. And so that was my reason, my first reason for coming there. A lot of people thought I came because I disliked Hughes or I disliked Frank. It was nothing to do with them. In fact, I still do a couple shows with Mr. Hughes. I do. He might be at the NWA Action Show this Saturday or so. And like I said, I brush it off. You know, I'm not the type of guy who tries to gain beef, but sometimes people just push you to that point, like Navy Blue and Mr. Hughes and the Washington Bullets. I'm sorry, but some people push you to that point, you know? And so that's why I came to PCW. It wasn't because I hated those guys. I mean, there's a couple guys I still like who were there, like the Rick the Kid King. I mean, he trained me a lot. You know, you got Jonathan Gresham, who's doing things in Germany and Japan. He's done a lot with me. So I have no heat with those guys. It's just me and Hughes didn't see eye to eye as far as character. And so that's why I came to PCW.
What is the end game with these TMZ segments? Do you have, obviously, you've got some past issues with Navy Blue, so we know kind of why you're going after him. But do you have a big fish, and I know you won't reveal it, I'm sure, but do you have a big fish in mind that you're kind of starting to bait out with this stuff?
I'll put it to you this way. I have quite a few big fish. I'm a hungry person, and I need quite a few fish in my pond. There are going to be a lot of surprises with my TMZ segments. Trust me, there are going to be some big changes, and I'm actually going to tell you right now, we're going to turn wrestling upside down on its head and give it a tombstone. I'm going to rewrite all the wrongs in pro wrestling. I know you've seen the Mr. Anderson shirts, Pro Wrestling is Real. I'm bringing the realism back to pro wrestling because a lot of people don't know. You see, I was close to a lot of people in PCW when it was known as PCW back then. And so a lot of people mistakenly let me in. And so I have information, important, interesting information about each and every person in that locker room, and I just can't wait to reveal some of the bigger things I have.
Well, Montez, I'll let you know this. Just know that no matter what you let out, no matter how personal it is, the more personal it is, the more of a beating you will get when you face that person. Now, I know that you feel like you're making a name for yourself and you want to attack the big fish, and it's a great ambition to have. It's great to go and shoot for the stars, but at the same time, the higher you shoot up, the bigger the fall is going to be.
I mean, yeah, I've heard the old stupid saying, you know, you can only climb so high on the ladder and there's nowhere to go but down. But you see, when I climb the ladder, I'm holding on. I'm not coming down off my high, you see, because I've already worked out the kinks in my plan. So you can come and attempt to take a shot at TMZ because you're so angry, but you see, blind rage never leads to a good thing. So my whole objective is to piss you off. And
okay,
if we do
well,
happen
I got,
to...
I got another question. Because one show, the Washington Bullets, fought Chip Day and Curry Kid on a show. And
mm-hmm.
it basically ended up in a time limit draw. Now, Curry Kid as a wrestler might be fun and jokey and stuff like that. But let's say you face the Washington Bullets again. How does Montez differ as a wrestler? Are you, say, more intense, or what would your wrestling style do to differentiate itself?
Just like personal information, I watch tapes and I study each and every professional wrestler I've ever had a match against. So I know all of Trey's little cool signature moves, his leaping guillotine leg drop, and I know his exact setup. I know the Washington Bullets double teams, drop toe hold, rolling camel clutch, drop kick. I know each and every situation and how to get out of it, because a lot of people haven't wrestled under a hood. When you wrestle under a mask, you do, just like in a car, have blind spots. But now my eyes are open, my head is wide, and I'm pissed. I'm pissed, but I can control it. Because like they always say, the only difference between insanity and genius is success, and I will be successful in Empire Wrestling.
We will see.
Now, you just talked about being prepared for the in the ring. You know, you're ready. You've studied everybody you've been in the ring with. You're prepared for in the ring. And I don't doubt it. You know, I say a lot of stuff to you. I might not like you, but I never would say that you couldn't get in there and get the job done. But are you prepared for when somebody pulls the dirt sheet out on you and talks about something that maybe you wanted to keep hidden, something, you know, you were protected under your mask, nobody knew exactly who you were. Are you prepared for when somebody drops the bomb?
I mean, I never let anybody in as far as pro wrestling goes. Nobody knows anything about me. They know where they think they know where I came from, you know, but nobody knows the real me. So I doubt that I would have to worry about somebody trying to pull a TMZ segment on me. Because all that would do is make me turn it up a notch and let out even bigger secrets of them.
So you seem to have some sort of, you know, a fail-safe file. You know, maybe there's things that you won't even talk about just yet, just in case somebody has something on you that you can bring back out later. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You think I went off on that handicap guy was bad? Trust me. Trust me. I had a lot more information about that guy, just like his wife that's using him for that disability check he gets. I have a lot more information than you think I do.
I don't know. I don't know if he'll be back anytime soon for you to reveal any of that. But hey, real quick, we have another caller, and I recognize a number, so I'm going to bring him on. I believe this is someone we're all familiar with on this show, the Jagged Edge.
Perfect timing as always.
Well, I have to tell you, he called in
Hello.
A little earlier, but I didn't realize he was on the line because I had brought Montez on the line at the same time, and then I saw him hang up, so I texted him and told him to call back. But unfortunately, Danny is no longer on the line.
Is this thing on? Hello. Is this thing on? Can you hear me?
Are you there?
Can you hear me? Is this
yeah,
thing
go
on?
Ahead. Go
Dude,
ahead.
Come
we have,
on.
We,
now, listen. Listen.
We're in the middle of
I was on the line before that old Calico Kid decided he wanted to run off. I was on the line waiting. Calico Kid, I hear you're begging Stephen Platinum for an opportunity to get in the ring with the Jagged Edge in a cage. I listened to you talk about how pissy you are because you tried to stab somebody and it just didn't work for you. There's no sense in you running out of town, taking out your frustrations on somebody else. Take it out on the person that you want to take them out. That's me. See, I came to your house, NWA Anarchy, and I beat you like a dog. I beat you at PCW. I beat you at TNT. I follow you to Chicago if that's what it takes. I follow you to Boston if that's what it takes. I'm going to beat you every time I see you, Danny, and I don't have to go around and tell people about it. I just do it. For the last 6 weeks, 7 weeks, 8 weeks, you've been whining about splitting heads to the white meat. The only person white that has white meat is you, Danny Only. I beat you every day of the week. Now, as far as you, Jonathan Williams, the very next time that you start a show and you don't start it off with the jagged edge, you and I have a problem. You understand?
Well, you know, you were invited to call in last week.
No, I don't have to be invited. I just kick in doors and take over houses. Ask Danny Only. Ask the guys at NWA Anarchy. I take what I want. I don't ask. I don't wait for an invitation. I wasn't brought up that way. I take what I want. So Danny Only, because he's in a foul mood, and then Sweet John Williams is over there talking about when I had to turn out a ride, I was in a foul mood. When I got back on Monday, I was in zombie mode. I'm always in a foul mood. Who cares about a ride? That's what you do. That's what you do. You wrestle, you work, you travel. So Danny Only, so you guys go back and tell him, whether it's Anarchy, TNT, Empire, the Cage on the 4th of July, Chicago, Illinois. See, that's my hometown. Boston, Massachusetts. Cleveland, Ohio. It don't matter. If I have to go over to Afghanistan when he goes there, I'm going to beat Danny Only every time he thinks about it. So that way, we can finally call the Calico Kid what he is, and that's just a big mouth coward. You don't need a screwdriver to stab somebody if you really want to. You put your foot in his mouth, you put your foot on his throat, and you do what you got to do. So, Danny, Bunkhouse Stampede, Cage Match, Dog Collar Match, Cage I Quit Match, it don't matter. Any way you want to take it, I'm going to give it to you. Now, that's all the time I got. That's all the time you guys had for me. But Jonathan Williams, like I told you, if you start a show again without the jagged edge, you and I got a problem.
All right. Well, thanks for calling, I guess.
That guy talks a lot. I mean, he talks a whole lot.
There aren't many people that can make Montez stop talking, but I think it just happened.
Yeah, I probably would not be doing a TMZ segment on Jagged Edge anytime soon. But you know what? Oh, I got other people in mind. I mean, hey, he's a cool guy.
Come
I like Jagged.
Man.
Hey, man, he's a cool guy. I like Jagged Edge. What's wrong with Jagged? I mean, yeah, he has a little anger issues, but he's a pretty cool person once you get past the anger and the
foreign sneak attacks people. That's what's wrong with him.
That's something they have in common, I guess.
Well, I wouldn't consider it sneak attacking. It's just unaware attack. And when you're unaware of your surroundings and you're attacked, you call it a sneak attack. But that's only your lack of generalism in pro wrestling. Not a sneak attack.
If somebody broke in your house, turned off all the lights, and turned them on, and he was standing there with a gun, that wouldn't be really a sneak attack, would it?
No, because if they cut the lights on, then I'd be ready. I mean, I have a curry dog. I mean, I'd be ready. I got alarm systems, man, trip lasers, smoke grenades. I'm ready. You can't sneak attack me. I'm TMZ. I'm a ninja, son.
With all the stuff you have said just in the last little bit, I would hope you have all that, because I'm telling you, man, somebody is coming to see
me. They can come and see me, and they come and leave, too. Body bag, referee carry them, stretcher, it doesn't matter. Because, like I said, I have all the kinks in my plan worked out.
Montez, I have a question for you. Kind of gets back to what I asked you earlier about the Curry Kid, and this Saturday at NWA Action, it's Bash at the Bridge, and it's a card that features Bull Buchanan, Crew Jones, Demolition Axe, Bill Eady is supposed to be there, but Curry Kid is scheduled for a ladder match. And a moment ago, you implied that someone else had worn the Curry Kid mask when you were out. So is that you, or is that someone else portraying Curry Kid, or...
All right. A couple years ago, I did the first ever Reach for the Stars match for MGCW when it was called that back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got hurt because someone came up with the stupidest idea that, hey, Curry Kid, since you're the smallest guy in the match, how about we put the ladder in the ring, you climb up, and you dive off the ladder, and you smash all the bad guys. But see, the problem with that was is my so-called buddy wasn't actually holding the ladder stably, so when I came down, I came crashing down. I was actually paralyzing my left side most of that match, but I did finish it, and that was like a 30-minute match. And ever since that point on, I said I would never do a ladder match. And so when I actually got my, because a lot of people don't know, the Curry Kids actually copywritten, because there were actually four of us. There's me, there's the guy I share the gimmick with, and then there was two other people, and I had to send them a cease and desist order. But the other guy who's actually, like I said, half Curry Kid, because the Curry Kid was never one person. It was always two people, just in case I wouldn't be able to make a booking. I knew that the character is actually bigger, well, at least was bigger than me. So it'll actually be the Curry Kid double will actually be the one working this Saturday.
Okay.
In fact, I actually gave him the complete rights to the gimmick, and I just want to focus on Empire. I just want to focus on Empire right now. That's my main focus. So I gave him the, I gave him all the gimmicks, all the T-shirts. I gave him my list. I gave him my half of the copyright and lease. I gave him everything. So he is the Curry Kid right now. I am TMZ, and a lot of people didn't know that until now, so I can see why it does bring a lot of confusion.
All right. Well, thanks for clearing that up. We are running out of time, so we need to wrap things up. But I did want to ask you, we had Stephen Platinum on just before you, and he was talking about a bunch of big shows that are coming up for Empire and PCW. And do you know what your role will be in any of those? Are you going to be in Porterdale or at the Goat Farm or just at Academy Theater in the next few weeks?
I'm trying to make each and every Empire show I can, so I can. I don't really care where they are. It can be a Masquerade, Porterdale. I don't care where it is. I just think the TMZ should get his word out across the United States, not just Georgia. I want to get my word out, and I want to speak as loud as I can. So actually, I think I will show up at a couple of these Porterdale shows and a couple of Masquerade shows where there's a bigger audience.
I hope you let me know what shows you show up on so I can get my hands back on you. Because
that is nasty. You will not get your hands on me.
Since you attacked me, I haven't seen you back. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I can't take a night off. I mean, hey, some people have to work for a living. Comcast. You know, I sometimes got to put in 10-hour shifts, you know? I got mouths to feed just like you do. I'm not that bad of a person. Sometimes I got to take care of other business.
I'll be waiting for you.
I'm sure you will, just like my prom date, and she was let down.
All right, well, Montez, I appreciate you calling, and do you have any other shows coming up outside of NWA Action and Empire?
The Curry Kid may have a couple of shows as far as I'm concerned, but me and him don't keep in contact as much as we used to. But TMZ, like I said, is strictly Empire Wrestling. There have been a couple of places to contact me about different promotions and different bookings, but I am strictly Empire Championship Wrestling. And I do want to stress that Jonathan Williams and his brother, they suck. But again, I am exclusive to Empire Championship Wrestling.
Oh, you,
I don't
you
like
got us mixed up. You got us mixed up. That's John Williams.
Yeah.
John, they both suck. I don't like either of them. I don't like Trey's stupid haircut. I don't like John's stupid cool looking tights. I don't like his gear. I don't like the fact that he's bigger than me and he can do a moonsault. I hate John Williams. I hate him. I hate him. I hate the Washington Bullets. Why are they even called the Washington Bullets, and one of them has a tattoo that says Virginia? Shouldn't it say, like, Washington or something? It's retarded.
It's called the Metro Curry.
Yeah.
Montez, whatever you want to call yourself, you can talk all you want, but when you step in the ring with us, our job's to win, your job's to lose. I think you're a great athlete, but you just stepped into the wrong yard.
Yeah. How about you go hold somebody else's wood? How about you hold somebody else's wood? I know I'm a good athlete. I know I'm a good worker. Everybody knows that. I mean, my accomplishments speak for itself. But again, we did go to a time limit draw, and that was back then. I'm not saying that I was inexperienced back then. I'm just saying I learned a lot since the last time we wrestled each other back in God knows where, Georgia. This time I don't need Chip Day by my side. I can probably take you both on, honestly.
Uh-oh. Challenge?
All right.
I won't call it a challenge. I call it insurance.
Well, we're out of time. I want to thank you again, Montez, for calling in. And I guess looking forward to seeing you is not really the right way to put it, but I do anticipate what comes out of your mouth next. I do have to make an announcement about some changes that are going to be going on to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. As of June 30th, Larry Goodman, who we heard from a lot on this show, will be taking over day-to-day operations, and his title is News Director. And that's pretty much all I know about it right now, but there will be more info forthcoming over the next few weeks. But for now, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com is where you go to find information on all the local events and the Georgia Wrestling History Radio Network and its other shows. I guess that's it for now. So, John, I want to thank you for sitting in and co-hosting with us tonight. I hope
you
enjoyed it.
With Montez, there's not much to enjoy, but it was enjoyable.
Yeah, well, what else do you have coming up, John, aside from Academy Theater on Fridays and
eating chicken and watermelon and grape soda? You know the stereotype.
If you look in the mirror, Montez,
Montez,
your pigment is the same as he is.
It's fine. It's fine. He wants to get me so angry that I don't know how to react, but I'm fine. Anyway, this Sunday we're going to be wrestling for Rampage, and we'll actually be taking on Chip Day and Corey Hollis in the Rampage Cup tournament in the first round. So that should be a fun match. You'll
it'll
be a good show overall.
Jesus Christ,
right.
I hope you lose.
Thank you, Montez.
All right, well, that's all the time we have. So go to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com as well as WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, and we will be back next Monday. And our guests, we're going to have Jerry Palmer from Anarchy, and I believe Danny still has the guy from Barbershop Window lined up for next week.
Oh, cool.
So should be another interesting show.
We're
going to
get our
then,
own shirts, right? That means we get our own shirts.
Yeah, we get Georgia Wrestling Now t-shirts, I hope.
I want the Macho Man on one of them. Give me the Macho Man. What's wrong with the Macho Man?
Nothing wrong with Macho Man.
Wait, he's the one that died, right?
He's one of the ones that died, yep.
Oh, crap. Never mind.
All right,
that's
well,
my
everybody,
dream
have,
deal.
Have a good week. We'll be back next week.
All right, Ugly John, I'll see you and your gay brother Friday. Oops, did I mention something about being gay? Oops.
Yeah, it'll be okay when you're knocked out on the floor for the Marion Barry.
Laughing.
When you're knocked out, it'll be fine, baby.
Knocked out laughing. Man, I'll see you guys Friday. I'm sick of you, John. I don't like your voice. You need to be upset. I want to get you as angry as I can. I want to get extremely deep. I want to see what makes you so calm, because your brother is always going off, but you seem to be calm. I want to see you this Friday, John. Bye-bye.
So before we go, Matt, do you have any random Danny-only trivia this week?
I got nothing.
All right. We'll be back. Good enough. We'll be back next Monday at 8.
For listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, and more. As always, GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com thanks you for your continued support.